Welcome to Worker Movement, a podcast dedicated to the working class, a podcast dedicated to raising class consciousness. This podcast is for you, for us, for the worker.
On today's episode, we're going to continue our conversation about why Trump should abuse the power of the pardon. And we're going to look at some of the ramifications of him not abusing his power.
Yeah, so it's all game theory again. So again, all the lens of this is game theory. What's the best for me as a candidate? What's the best for me as a winner? And what's best for me all around? It's not about what's best for the country, best for the party, yada, yada, yada. It is Trump being in it to win it for himself. So last time we talked about how, you know, he can do whatever he wants. He can pardon, you know, anybody he wants, and then he can resign. And his best friend Pence can also then just pardon any federal crimes he's committed. So some of the issues we can say is he can violate campaign finance laws. He can not fill out forms. He can violate IRS laws. He can do whatever he wants because it's part of the executive branch, and he can get pardoned for it, which means all of his minions, his kids, anybody that he wants can violate laws at the federal level.
Yeah, so what's the percent chance that as this all unwinds, he blanket pardons his entire family for all the illegal shit?
I would
shit
say
that...
90. Yeah. So what I don't know, and this is where I'm a little bit confused a little bit on the pardon system, and it's because it's just a weird statement in the Constitution that can just be abused by whoever wants to abuse it, if they can, right? Any president. Is I don't know if you can just write down a piece of paper, like, I pardon my entire family and then sign it. Anybody's last name Trump or list the names out. Doesn't matter what it is. He just pardons some list. And he hands it to the Department of Justice and writes on it, Office of the President confidential. So could he pardon people without actually anybody ever knowing it?
Interesting. I mean, it's not like,
right?
The Constitution prescribes, like, here is the form.
How?
Thou shalt complete this form. And upon,
yes,
you know, putting it in the mail slot of your nearest Burger King, they are therefore pardoned.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Nail it on the biggest tree within the biggest town, within the biggest county, the most populous county, the most populous state, right? They don't have that rule, which would be a fucking cool rule, by the way. You know, find the biggest house and the biggest neighborhood, and, you know, the most populous neighborhood, and staple it to the tree out front.
And that's proper notice.
And that's proper notice. hear
None of
ring
this
a bell,
serving you, papers thing.
No. So the question is I'm going to go as high. I'm not going to say 100%. That's ridiculous. I'm going to probably say 80%. I'm going to say Jared Kushner gets a pardon. Ivanka gets a pardon. The time traveler son gets a pardon. I forgot his name. Who's the kid who's like as tall, taller than Trump is? What's his son's name?
Eric?
The littler one, the smaller one. The
Baron.
Little.
Okay.
Baron, yeah.
The
Baron
guy who was
Trump.
The kid who was wearing glasses while his dad was staring into the sun during the
eclipse.
Well, at
least he covered his eyes. Yeah, he squinted.
it's probably fine.
So for those of you who don't know, Baron is a time traveler from a long time ago, from 1873 or whatever it is. So read the books. You'll understand it. So let's go back then to game theory. Why should Trump, and why should everybody that supports Trump, basically game theory-wise, they should cheat in the federal election? So let's start with the very basic, like, abuse of power of pardon that just happened. And we'll start at the state level in Missouri. So as you know, there's been a lot of, I guess, protesting against the police brutality, against the state itself, which we'll go into in a different time. But we had this incident in which two homeowners brandished weapons and pointed them at protesters walking down the street, and the Missouri governor just pardoned those two for any state crimes.
Well, he didn't pardon them. He said he was going to pardon them.
He said he was going to pardon them. Now, he may not because of the ramifications politically for him or whatever it is, but just that alone means that they're probably not going to pursue a prosecution against them because it's already threatened to be a pardon, so why waste time? So just even the mere threat of a pardon means that individuals will stop the actual investigation and anything that along the lines of a prosecution because it's just a waste of time and resources. And if you go back to resource allocation issues, why, when you have so many other cases, you have to start prosecuting?
Yeah, and the prosecutors can have every intention of the world of holding these people accountable, and maybe they still decide to go forward and charge and go through the whole legal process, but at some level there's an understanding that resources are being allocated for an eventual outcome that is not in line with what their kind of ultimate pursuits are from a purely legal perspective. Now, there could absolutely be political outcomes and they'll have to decide whether they want to kind of go down the political path, but from a purely like legal prosecutorial perspective, there are enough cases that allocating resources on a case that will likely be pardoned might not be the most prudent, just at a very basic level, resource allocation-based decision.
Yeah, I mean, they can wait out statute of limitations and things like that. They can hope that in 4 years or something, whatever the numbers are, they could prosecute, but by then, nobody gives a shit. I mean, it comes down to, it's sort of a crime in which, I mean, there's evidence against them, but, I mean, who were the victims, and then what were the outcomes going to be, and then is it worth the fight right now? So, again, just the mere idea that you can be pardoned means that you're not going to do anything. It's the same thing that happened with, you know, Roger Stone. I mean, it was a slap on the wrist, and he still got it pardoned. Or it's not pardoned. What's the word I'm looking for?
Commuted. His sentence was commuted.
Commuted, yeah. So he's still, again, like last episode, he's still a felon. But
Robert Mueller says he's still a felon.
He's still a felon, right. Commuted doesn't mean you're done. You're still a felon. Robert Mueller, he's a beady-eyed psychopath that any shit-lib that says that they like Robert Mueller is just a maniac. The man spent his entire year ruining lives of other people. So to think that he's somehow on your side is just the same idea as saying that Q is a real person and somehow Trump is helping Q take down the swamp, right? Those are all insane ideas. Robert Mueller is the same thing as Q. Don't believe it. Pizzagate. That's real. It's not really real. Sorry. So back to this idea of a pardon. So if Trump, I guess 100% chance that he's going to pardon his family, not 100% chance. I think again, 90% chance he pardons at least some of his kids in this one.
Kushner's like, getting pardoned in some way, shape, or form.
Huh?
Kushner, he's
yeah,
getting
pardoned
in some way, shape, or form.
He has to get a political pardon. Kushner's dad's getting a pardon. I mean, the entire Kushner family needs to be pardoned. They are felons. Everybody knows it. That's why it's nice that the state has the ability to prosecute, because there's a lot of state crime that's been happening in New York. So again, that's the other issue, is that we have to focus primarily on federal crimes versus state crimes. And if there's not a state crime that mirrors a federal crime and it's purely a federal crime, then the pardon works 100% and there's nothing they can be trumped up on. So let's talk then about why it's important if you are a Republican senator or senatorial candidate to basically cheat for Trump. So we have this campaign season coming up, and in order for you to find a president guilty of any type of impeachment trial, you have to have 2/3 of the Senate, right? And last time I checked, that was 67 senators.
67.
So if you have enough senators to vote not guilty, which is 34, then you end up always being able to do whatever you want, and there's no accountability. So if you are Trump, you basically write an email saying, hey, everybody, if you are pardoned from all federal election crimes, if you cheat for me to win the election. I mean, that's basically the message that comes out, because if you are running a campaign, you can cheat. You can bring any money you want to, as long as it's not a state crime, and cheat all you want to on a federal and be pardoned right away. Now, there are some ramifications, like the party could not seat you and some other legal things that I think the Senate and the House can do.
But the House and Senate can always do that, and they've clearly demonstrated no capacity to do any of that. Like,
yeah,
the guy in New Jersey that got, like, indicted for, like, bribery and whatever, like, he was in the House or Senate or whatever for, like, years, and everybody knew, and nobody cared.
Nobody cared. Nobody cared. Nobody cares. Because at that level, you can be a Ohio sitting, you know, House Majority Leader in Ohio and get arrested for a $60 million bribery case. I mean, that's crazy, right? That just happened. But again, the governor of Ohio can do what? And they should, by the way.
He can speak at the DNC.
Yeah. He can be a Democrat. But arguably, the governor of Ohio, if they have a pardon in their constitution, should pardon the crimes of any of his Republican minions. Especially if it's end of term, especially if it's an off-year election. Off-year election doesn't matter, guys. Nobody's going to remember 2 years that you're a dick.
Nobody's going to remember.
Because nobody cares. It's a winning game. And if your party knows you're going to pardon for state crimes, they're going to win as hard as you can to make the team win. It's like having a ref that's always going to blow the whistle on the opposing team. It's like, you know, the reason why you can't have refs from the same school or state that you play basketball with or baseball with or whatever it is, because guess what? They're going to cheat for their home team. You see it all the time. Same way. The governor of every state should say, hey, guys, I will pardon any crimes you commit. Because nobody gives a shit, especially if you own both branches of the government and the court. What are they going to do, right?
Not going to do anything. And, I mean, one of the questions this raises is, how often has this historically happened and people just have no idea? Like, you see these kind of one-party-controlled states that have been historically one-party control, and you kind of wonder how they got there, and what if the answer is absolute pure abuse of power?
Yeah, it's a beautiful way. I mean, you have two people sitting here. Your two hosts do not believe in abuse of power. We're not believing in one-party state. In fact, we have a hard time with what's going on with both parties. But at the same time, we understand game theory, and from a pure winning point of view, pardoning and cheating your way to the top is probably the easiest way to get to power. It's like bribing officials. It's like paying for judges and letting the judge rule against you. It's probably one of the easiest ways to get there. And so this $60 million thing that just happened in Ohio, the gun people in Missouri, the Alabama, if there's going to be any type of illegal actions, we're just making things up for that one. That's all conjecture. Any of these things, are, from game theory point of view, means that the team that is playing the hardest is going to win. The Democrats or Republicans in certain states have no power, so why let them have power? Why not be in New York, which you just take over the Senate for the first time whatever years, and three people join the other party? Right? Pure corruption, pure game theory. Trump should pardon every one of his minions and make it known, because that'll make for a very interesting senatorial race.
And I think there's a lot of people in the general public that have no concept that this is about to happen. But he's a little bit cornered in some regards. You see this happening a little bit with some of the protesting where, you know, he's kind of overexerting his federal authority. You see this with the masks. He's wearing masks recently. He wants to be patriotic. It's a little bit of a throw everything against the wall and see what sticks. But at the end of the day, I can cheat. And maybe that's ultimately the only choice he has. What do you think he realizes that's the only choice he has?
I will say that for an individual who spent his entire career, I don't want to say cheating the system, because that would be an insult. I think he used the system as designed. He did not pay the contracts in some cases. He claimed bankruptcy in some cases. He took out loans, massive loans in other cases. He took out foreign investments. He basically did everything that was legal under the law. And we can argue ethics all day you want to, but the laws are written in a certain way. And if you have enough lawyers, you can figure out any legal loophole you need to.
He was not held accountable for anything.
He is not held accountable. He will never be held accountable because the party wants to stay in power. And he was not going to be held accountable when it comes to delaying the elections. He won't be held accountable when he assumes that he issues his argument that the voting was a fraud. I mean, Hillary beat him by 3 million. He said that, 10 million people voted illegally. You know, and again, not a Hillary supporter by any chance, any imagination here.
It was her turn.
It was her turn. I'm with her. 3 million magical votes, and he's, you know, 10 million people, I guess, cheated. So at the end of the day, he has no other option but to cheat. So he has the ability to probably bring in the FBI to run investigations against senatorial candidates or other, Democratic candidates. He has the ability to look at IRS returns if he wants to. He can fuck with Biden all he needs to. He can play games with his kids. He can do whatever he wants to and abuse power all he needs to, because at the end of the day, he will never be A, in peace, and B, prosecuted. Ever. Because there's not enough votes to prosecute or to convict him in the Senate, and there's not enough people in the DOJ who's going to go down that rabbit hole.
So, I mean, impeachment is very likely a dead clause in the Constitution that really practically can never be invoked. It requires 2/3 of all senators. Senators are elected in 1/3 every 6 years. So if there were to be an impeachment, it would require basically 3 successive elections of large-scale majority elections of a given party over a 6-year period. So that would place us not in 2020, but in 2022. where the Dems would have to win massively last cycle, this cycle, and then the next cycle to actually have enough votes to impeach in the sixth year of a presidency. All as a benign check on like some godlike emperor that people in the night or the so say the 1960s, but more like the 1660s thought was some check on monarchy.
Yeah, the two-thirds makes a little bit more sense when states used to be able to appoint their senators. And you had the states that had the interest in potentially putting in, you know, different regional rights and all these things that sort of trickle down there. But you're right. Like, nobody this today is going to, if they're a politician, vote against the party that's in power. There's just no way. And the Democrats can't hold the House and the Senate and any states and the presidency and the courts because, let's be honest, they don't want to win about, for any reason. They just keep throwing shit at the wall and seeing what sticks. And, I mean, you we could talk all day about the Biden candidacy, but, I mean, they don't run coherent campaigns at any level. They're not running any hard games. They're not smashing and coming out and being insane because, at the end of the day, they are more Republican than they are left. And so they're not going to disturb the capital power in which, you know, they rely on for control of their small little kingdoms.
So Trump has a new commercial that's out, and it has a what I'm going to describe as an old lady sitting in her home her 1980s couch watching the Teletube. And there's a bad man or woman, I guess, because you never see who they are, outside, and it's raining. And she goes to grab her telephone and dial 911, and there's white text on the screen that says, Biden wants to defund the police. And,
good.
So, which isn't even really true to some degree. The commercials make out Biden to be way, way cooler than he is, I guess. But it's, you know, it's supposed to drum up fear, and it's an example of Biden's not really fighting back. And if Trump's going to run commercials like that, shouldn't Biden oppose him?
Biden can't even remember the last time he interacted with police because he can't remember what he ate for lunch most days. So
Trump said the cognitive test was hard. I wonder what Biden thought of it.
I dunked all day, dude. That's a dunk. Oh, my God. Joe mentioned it at work. If you,
we should find a cognitive test.
We should just put a cognitive test on that website, dude, for sure. See if you can pass it. Draw a clock. Count
clocks,
backwards.
Elephants, and counting backwards. Yeah.
And counting backwards, elephants. Yeah. I mean, we'll put them all on there. You can see them. Just challenge them every time you get to a town hall. And this isn't really funny. It's actually sad that we have to make jokes because nobody seems to give a shit that there's elderly. I mean, abuse happening right now. The man can hardly like eat applesauce, and yet he's making these commercials on YouTube. I don't know what the hell we were talking about, but at the end of the day, yeah, Biden should be fighting back. He doesn't need to. I mean, he's gonna. I mean, let's talk about the media influence on this. He's gonna win just because media said he's gonna win, which is different than the way that. Oh, maybe not. Let's hold on. Let's start this over. I mean, the thing about Hillary. I just made a boo boo in my head. I thought the media meant that someone's going to win. Oh, man. I'm just being facetious now. He's not going to win. I think Trump will win.
That's why Hillary's president, don't. Right?
That's why Hillary's president, yeah. I'm being funny. I'm not being funny.
All the polls said that Hillary was going to win, and then she won.
Because polls vote. Yard signs vote. Pulse T-shirts vote. Bumper stickers vote. Yeah. Poor people don't vote. All right? They don't vote. They don't work. They work on the election day to make you coffee so you can go vote. They
Which
don't have babysitters.
Having a national holiday for voting is an idiotic idea.
It doesn't make any sense because you're still gonna have the people that work at Walmart to serve you and sell you a thing of chicken. They actually have pretty good poppers. I hate Walmart. But I like the poppers. So there's a little guilty pleasure there. Sorry. So yeah, Biden should be. Let's go back to that. Biden should be opposing Trump, and he can't because he doesn't actually have a coherent message about this. And this is where Trump has the upper hand because not only is Trump willing to lie, Trump will get away with the lies because the FEC is not going to step in and tell him that he's a liar. The FCC is not going to step in and say that he's violating any type of any you know, communication clauses. And Biden doesn't have enough in him to actually say, yes, I'm defunding the police, or yes, I'd like some changes, or anything that actually makes sense that's going to get our base riled up. There's a bunch of potential voters out there that just heard Biden come out and say, I'm not going to defund the police, which means he just lost their vote. I mean, who's motivated to go vote for somebody who's not on their side? I can't think of anybody.
Nobody, especially during
Nobody.
a pandemic where there's a non-zero chance you die voting by having somebody cough in your mouth while you're checking a box for a war criminal. So if you're Biden, there is sort of this inherent imbalance between kind of the power of the incumbency, where Trump can cheat, probably will cheat, and if he cheats well enough, he wins. Does Biden have this opportunity to say, "Oh, I'm going to cheat as hard as I can, and if I win, it'll go away"?
He does. Unless the Department of Justice decides to indict him on December 1st, or November 8th, whatever the 9th, whatever the day of voting is, he should cheat. He should tell everybody he's going to cheat and pardon anybody who gets elected to him. He should tell people he's going to burn down the Supreme Court or get a new Supreme Court if everybody wins. He should just go, just I don't even know, balls against the wall and just go nuts. And say, this is what I'm going to do, and basically just reorganize the entire federal government and just make things up and cheat and lie and take outside interest money and let third parties basically run crazy incoherent campaigns for them and take Saudi money and take Russian money because who gives a shit his opponent is. So, I mean, during the Nuremberg trials, a Japanese fella got off because he said, this American did the same type of murder that I did. And they said, you're right, it's not a crime. Why is that? Because the winner gets to decide what a crime is. And that's why Biden should go and be crazy and commit as many crimes as he can, federally, not statewide, it's federal. So when he gets a part of the presidency, he has the ability to get pardoned eventually. Resign and get pardoned.
So let's say Biden does cheat and Trump still wins. Historically, the loser has never been prosecuted ever. Runner-ups don't get prosecuted, and previous presidents don't prosecute previous presidents.
As Obama said, we just want the country to move forward and heal. So, I'm paraphrasing some nonsense he said about waterboarding. There's every cascading line of presidents should have been arrested for some sort of war crime or domestic policy crime or things like that. But you're not going to prosecute them for that because you're the president and you're going to heal the country and move forward because you have your own laws that you want to break. You have your own agendas.
So Biden should be operating under the premise that no matter what he does, he will not get prosecuted because no previous runner-up has ever been prosecuted either. So what should be happening at the federal level is both presidential candidates should be cheating as hard as they possibly can because they know that if they win, they are absolved, and if they lose, they are absolved as
There's no
well.
reason not to cheat. Absolutely. Unless you're a third party. And people are petty and they'll go after you for being a third party. Look what happened to Jill. Wasn't she arrested for her dumbass
Well,
painting, spray painting like a bulldozer during Obama? I mean, come on.
she went to like do some token opposition to the North Dakota pipeline or something and like spray painted a rusty like front loader bucket or something and got arrested for this, that, or the other thing. And it was some PR blah, blah, blah. And probably nothing happened with it, but.
In her $100 North Face hat and her
Yeah,
$400
right,
North Face
exactly.
jacket
The
and her
Mike.
$400 boots.
I'm wearing $3,000 of designer like fake mountain climbing gear to spray paint a bulldozer in North Dakota. I'm
Yeah,
one of
everything,
you.
it was so uncomfortable. Yeah, I'm just like you. Yes.
Just like you. So relatable. But yeah, she was more relatable than Hillary, so.
Well, one thing that Jill hasn't done, and this is the important part, she hasn't overthrown or toppled a government that resulted in millions of deaths and disease and sickness.
She's not a war criminal.
She's not a war criminal. That's the important thing. Oh, plus Benghazi. She's not Benghazi, whatever that is. The time that the Republicans defunded the security force and then I guess a building was killed or
Because
something.
no diplomats have ever died abroad. That was the first time ever. Oh, wait, never
I've
mind.
never heard
That's
of this before.
completely not
It's
true.
crazy. There's a part of me that's scared for the country when I think about how a diplomat can go into a country in which they don't belong in a building that isn't really theirs on soil that they claim to be U.S. soil and then be killed after a YouTube video that explicitly makes fun of the religion that you hold so dear to your heart. That's crazy. That's what actually what happened, right? The US put out a crazy ass video and then it pissed off a bunch of people who said, you know what, we're gonna turn our anger on the people that don't belong here. Get the fuck out. And they're like, we're not leaving. Okay, you don't have to leave.
And
So we'll kick
it
you
may
out.
have been incompetently bungled from a military perspective. It may not have been. It was completely kind of, media-driven controversy because plenty of diplomats have been killed abroad. I mean, even in Bush's term, there was something like 8 or 10 or 12 or something. So it's not like this was the first time it ever happened.
And putting a contractor's name as a diplomat is kind of an insane thing too. I mean, putting like private security folk as diplomats is sort of a way of cheating the system. I mean, they're being paid money to kill brown people if they get close to the building. So I don't know. Are they really diplomats? I don't really know. Were they spying? 'Cause, I mean, that's crazy, right? So this is all conjecture. We don't know. We kind of went off on tangent on Benghazi.
And so Benghazi was, nailed to the wall against Hillary Clinton during her campaign. It was over and over and over and over. She's arguably a war criminal. She beat Trump. She hasn't been prosecuted. Why shouldn't Biden cheat?
There's no reason why not to. I mean, Bill Clinton, he used to hang out with Epstein, and Hillary Clinton killed a bunch of people, and you still have the Hillary or the Clinton Foundation. So I don't think that being untouchable like that means that they'll touch you ever. Biden's kid didn't get prosecuted, and he was full-blown bribery in another country. Full-blown. I mean, there's no way that that wasn't a bribery mistake, and he's not going to be prosecuted for that.
The Dems finally took a stand on something, and it was to protect Joe Biden's fail son kid.
Fail son kid. Yeah. This is the mount we're going to die on. Not the pipeline, not the oceans,
Not kids
not the
in
environment,
cages.
not kids in cages, not worker rights, right? Not
Pandemics,
everything else.
healthcare,
Pandemic.
anything.
Yeah. Anything. Education, stopping wars. Space Force. I have no idea what the hell that is, but none of that. We're gonna go to bat for Joe Biden's son, who they should have just thrown to the wolves,
They
just like they
should have.
did with that senator from Minnesota. What was his name? During the Me Too,
Oh, Al Franken.
Al Franken. Yeah, they just threw him to the wolves so that they got the Alabama guy, the guy who likes little girls at malls.
Yeah, they got Roy Moore to lose so that,
Yeah, give me more.
which from a political perspective probably worked. Like, that was probably the right call. It was like the first time the Dems have ever done anything marginally political in their lives, and it actually worked. And
Well, they
then the
got rid
guy
of a
from,
left-leaning, guy, and they got rid of a very hard right guy, so they went
it
back
was
to the center.
win-win for them for sure.
Yeah.
And the guy in Alabama's, the Dem is very likely going to lose. I mean, he did. He was good for 2 years. He voted along kind of the important party lines. He voted for impeachment. So, I
He's
mean,
out of there.
he kind of represented the brand in Alabama, which is probably a good thing long term. But he should be
You know
cheating to
what?
win too.
Yeah, he should be cheating no matter what. You should always cheat. I guess it comes down to is if you're a federal candidate, you should always cheat.
And
I mean,
especially like if you're running in an off cycle and your party is already presidentially in power, like what are you doing? You should never lose seats in a midterm election.
now there are some things you shouldn't do, and this comes down to bribery and sort of other fraudulent things. Because the FBI and DOJ do not take kindly to that. But things like election fraud, things like that, cheating, nobody gives a shit about this. Nobody cares. Nobody cares about equal time. Nobody cares that you spray painted your name on buildings. Nobody really cares.
Like,
So,
do some
again, this.
robocalls, send some illegal text messages. The
Yeah.
FCC, Verizon, AT&T run entity isn't going to give a shit.
Nobody gives a shit. You can come from Canada. No one cares. Right? You,
Right,
again,
spoofing.
open the coffers up. So this episode was more about, our minds wrapping around this idea that there are things called presidential pardons, and there are pardons at every level, I guess state pardons too, in which people from time to time abuse them. We know that, and we see it, and it makes headline news. It's sensational. But the real question is why should a sitting president care if the people that below supporting them are cheaters if he can just pardon them? And the answer is he shouldn't. He should and actively help them cheat and then resign and let the next person in line pardon them. That's the Nixon
So
zone.
Pence can be on a dollar coin someday.
President Pence for one day.
And you don't have to go to the inauguration ceremony and sit there and awkwardly pretend to care for like 4 hours.
Yeah, I mean, the executive decision that's about to come through, if Trump loses, are going to be just fucking bananas. And they should violate all types of laws and make the courts decide. The courts that, guess what, game theory says stack. And guess what McConnell did?
Stacked.
Stack the courts. Some shit that the shithole shit-lived Dems would not do. They would not tell. Obama would not close down the Senate and force through all of his picks. I don't know why. I would have closed the Senate and put in 400 federal judges. Every single lot would have been filled, and I would have done what I could to cram them full there. Because game theory says, why would you not do that? And McConnell understands it, and that's why he did it. He doesn't care. He does not care about their implications, because guess who holds Mitch McConnell accountable?
The people of Kentucky.
Yeah, and they sure do. They sure do vote against him every single cycle.
That's why he's been in power forever and why we have a pro-Trump Democrat running against him in Kentucky this cycle.
Why would you vote for a pro-Trump Democrat? Why would you for a Democrat?
$40 million in running national TV ads. Like, it makes no sense from a strategy perspective. So you have to assume it's controlled opposition. It is. It's a grift. It's a, it's a managerial class grift. You can keep the consultancy going.
Well, I like the idea of controlled opposition, because that's true. It really is. You know, you see it in many races in which you have someone that comes in that's, you know, fully funded, has TV ads coming out, T-shirts on, yard signs going, and the primary hasn't even happened yet. And you wonder, how did they just get $20,000, $100,000 in funding, and how did they come in already ready to go? And it's because somebody who's done this before has paid the candidate to run. They found somebody who calls himself a Democrat or Republican, whoever it is, and it goes.
For future episodes and to learn more about the worker movement, join us at workermovement.com.